Last week, towards the end of the sermon, we talked about spiritual gifts. We had read from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. I thought it would be good to continue on from there. We're going to start on 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. And then later in the sermon, we're going to read from 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all made to drink from one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weakest are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body. But the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. There's a man named John who arrived at a football game, or kind of in the football season, and his friend says, why are you so late? He says, well, I had to flip a coin between going to church and coming to the game. His friend looked at him and says, how long could that have possibly taken you? He says, well, I had to flip that coin 12 times. I hope none of us are flipping coins to decide whether we're going to go to church or stay home and watch the game on TV or some such thing. We all need to be in church. We are a part of a church family, a church body. Leonard Sweet, who's a well-known preacher, author, tells about a college football game that was a terrible mismatch. The one team outweighed the other by about 30 pounds per man, was more experienced and better coached. The lighter, weaker team was being terribly beaten, not only on the scoreboard, but also their bodies. They were bruised, cut, bleeding. Several of the first stringers had been taken out of the game because of injuries. Got towards the end of the game, and the quarterback is out in the huddle, and he looks around and he realizes there's 12 men on the field instead of 11. And he's thinking, oh dear, if the referees notice that, we're going to be more severely punished. So he says, tell you what, we're going to do a play where we move past the bench, and I want one of you to drop out, and hopefully the referee won't see it. So they started the play, and they ran past the bench, and the play went well, and they huddled up again, and the quarterback noticed that not just one person was missing, now there were six people missing. And sometimes that happens in church, just like in the ball game. We expect one person to be absent, and we wind up with half a dozen. And it's sad that those things happen in our churches, but they do. We've seen it happen here. We've seen it happen in other churches where something happens and somebody says, I'm taking my ball and going home. But we can't do that. because we are all part of the body of Christ. Each one of us has an important role in that body. And that's what Paul is telling the Corinthians. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. And we are all baptized by one Spirit into the one body of Christ. So we can't say that the hand doesn't need the foot, the eye doesn't need the ear. Each person, each Christian, God has given a spiritual gift. Maybe you haven't found yours yet. Maybe you have and you're maybe a little shy about using it. But God's given each one of us a spiritual gift. And he's done that in such a way that each of us, working together with one another, can build up the body of Christ, the body of the church. And that's really what this is all about. It's about building up God's kingdom through the body of Christ, from the body of the church, to each and every one of us that has a special spiritual gift. Seminary professor Fred Craddock once pointed out that church was not born full grown. Just like everything else, church started in infancy and grown to where we see it today. And we wonder, back in the beginning, how they looked at church and how they thought it should be shaped. They had a couple of different ideas. Some people would look towards the temple and think, well, maybe it needs to be that way. But then they realized that the temple was clergy-dominated. Remember, the Pharisees all had their special roles, things that they did in the temple throughout the day. And then there was those that looked at the synagogues, the smaller synagogues. Those were run by lay people. Somebody in the congregation would get up and read from the scroll. So we didn't pattern ourselves that way either. But the early church, if you were to study history of the church, you discover that church is not the building. Church is actually the people. And in the infancy of the church, they met in somebody's house or in a special place. They met together. They held each other accountable. They all had something to do within the church. And that's how it all began. Somewhere down through the years, the church has kind of gotten away from being what they refer to as ecclesial to being a building, basilica. So instead of ecclesial, we've become basilica. People say church, they think of a building. They don't think about people. But people are what makes church possible. People are the church. They are the body of Christ. And each has their role to play in that. You'll notice that Paul, in 1 Corinthians 3, when he compares the church to a field or a building, and then in Ephesians 5, and he compares the church to a bride, he says the church is like this, or like that. But in the passage we just read, Paul says the church is the body of Christ. Not like the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And we can't afford to take all that for granted. We are a part of the body of Christ. We are a church family. We all have gifts. Sometimes we just need to look for that gift. But we definitely don't want to squander the gift that God gave us, that spiritual gift. It should be used to the glory of God. So the main thing to start out here is to assert that each one of us has a gift. Agree with me that each one of you has a spiritual gift. And Paul says they're not all the same. Some are prophets, and some are healers, and some are teachers, and But everybody has a gift. God's given each one of us a talent, a gift, however you want to put it. Kenneth Chaffin, a pastor and author, talks about a young athlete in college who had a potentially wonderful career ahead of him. But somehow he injured his big toe in an accident. And that pretty much ended his athletic career. And I know, big toe, you don't think it's that big deal, but it is a part of the body, and it ended his career. And he talks about how being the body of Christ means that each of us has a vital role to play. Just as we need eyes, ears, our mouth, our hands, we need that big toe. As insignificant as we may think of that big toe, we need the big toe. I don't know how many of you follow the Peanuts cartoons. I'm sure figured out by now, I'm pretty fond of the Peanuts cartoons. There was one a few years back where Snoopy broke his left leg. And hundreds of people sent cards and sympathy letters. And even Snoopy philosophized about his plight one day, perched on top of his doghouse, like we always think of Snoopy, looking at that big white cast on his left leg. And he says, "My body blames my foot for not being able to go places. My foot says it was my head's fault. And my head blames my eyes. My eyes say my feet are clumsy. And my right foot says not to blame him for what happened on the left foot." Snoopy looks out at his audience and confesses. He says, "I don't say anything because I don't want to get involved." And how often have we seen that in our churches? The right hand wants to blame the left hand, or the right foot, or the left foot. And then there are those who, "I'm not getting involved with that." And that's not the way it's supposed to be. The right hand needs the left hand. The left foot needs the right foot. We need each part of our bodies to survive. And the same goes with the body of Christ, the body of the church. We need every part of that to survive, even the big toe. So no matter how insignificant you may think your spiritual gift is, God gave that to you for a reason. Because he knew you would do well at it, and he knew that you'd just fit right in there in the body of the church. And we have to look at it that way. You can't say the hand doesn't need the foot, and so on and so on. Each piece is needed. And Paul even talks about how we should honor the insignificant, the big toe. But the more, I guess, privileged parts of the body, those that do the more significant things, we think, don't need the honor, because we know that that's what's going on. But we should honor all the various parts of the body. And he says each part of the body, each spiritual gift is equal to the other, whether it's your big toe or your brain. They're equal. And that's how we should look at that. And that's how we work together as church. Your abilities, your gifts, your talents, they are important. They are important as members of the church. It's not just about sitting in the pew on Sunday morning. It's about using your spiritual gift. Dr. Bob Record gives another analogy. Y'all remember back in March 1981, Ronald Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr., and he was hospitalized for several weeks. And all the time he was in the hospital convalescing, the government didn't stop working. The government kept on just like it normally did. You would have never known if you hadn't heard about it that President Reagan was in the hospital. On the other hand, you all probably remember back many years ago when the garbage collectors in Philadelphia went on strike. and trash started piling up on the curves and started to stink in Philadelphia and became a health hazard. So Dr. Record asks, who's more important, the president or the garbage collector? You think about it. Without the little guy, the big guys can't function. In fact, Dwight D. Eisenhower got on to one of his generals who made the comment one day, oh, he's just a private. Eisenhower looked at him and says, you know what? We could probably do without some of you generals. But if you get rid of all those privates, those foot soldiers, we're doomed. So you can't just say, well, they're just a private or it's just the big toe. Because every little part is important. I'll give you another example. The space shuttle. We've seen one explode on launch. We've seen one implode on reentry. We lost 14 astronauts. And if you think about the space shuttle, it has millions of working parts. And each one of those millions of working parts has to work together for a successful takeoff, mission, and landing. And on top of that, there are thousands of technical specialists, engineers, maintenance workers, all the human side of this that have to work together to make that successful, the takeoff, the mission, and the landing. If any one of those pieces fails, whether it be mechanical or human, the mission's doomed. If we go back and look at the Challenger explosion, they determined that the O-rings, when it got real cold, because it was freezing cold that morning, hardened up and didn't do their job. So ice formed, ice fell and punctured one of the fuel tanks, one of the rockets. And that little bit of damage caused a massive explosion. So you can see where each little thing counts. It's important. And churches are like that. We have people serving in diverse roles. We've got Sunday school teacher. We've got a greeter. We've got all our little committees, even though, you know, we don't meet a lot. But those committees are important. And those of you that serve on committees have an important role to play. And God gifts you for those roles. Dr. Jerry Hall, George Washington University, in 1993 cloned a human embryo. And Lord, the problems that created, ethical, religious, all kinds of problems. Oh Lord, we can clone a human. What are we going to see now? But you know, he really didn't do anything that was that spectacular. He just used the same methods that veterinarians had been using for years in cloning animal embryos. So it wasn't a big deal, but it caused a major problem. People thought, well, you can clone yourself, and when you start to get older and start to have a lot of health problems, let's bring up that other one, and you can continue on. And we've seen movies made about those kinds of things where, oh, we just dump your brain into this new clone and you can just live forever. So you can see the ethical problems with that. And I mention that because each of us in the church is not reproducible. The gift that God gave you is not reproducible. You can't be cloned. You can't expect somebody else to do the role that God gave you. Each of us has a significance in the body of Christ. And that's how God establishes his kingdom. Working through each of us, doing our part, and doing the best we can at what we're assigned to do, that gift we're given. Soren Kierkegaard tells a parable about a group of ducks. These ducks meet at a particular time for a church service. The duck preacher got up there one time and he's preaching about how they have this amazing gift. God gave them wings so they can fly. They can go anywhere they want to go. And during this sermon, he's getting amens left and right. Everybody's paying attention about this great gift God gave them. The service got over with, and they all waddled home. We can't do that. We don't need to be waddling. We need to be flying. Because God gave you that gift that allows you to fly. Saint Teresa, Sister Teresa, kind of put it this way. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. You are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are his body. You are his body. You are the hope of the world. And it's time for us to lift up our wings and fly. We are God's eyes and ears and hands here on earth. He uses us to help others, to bring others to him. And that's the major part of our role, whatever your gift is. And I know there are those of you that are not the evangelistic type. You're not one to go out and draw people to the kingdom, but you don't have to be. You can just talk to people about it. Explain to them about Christ and Christianity and how God has given us grace and mercy. And even if you don't want to do the evangelistic thing, you can do other things. Like welcoming people into the church when somebody that does have an evangelistic spiritual gift brings somebody in. We can't all be Billy Grahams, but we can do what we can do to grow God's kingdom. And can you imagine if we all took our spiritual gift and applied that in our community as disciples of Christ? If we applied that spiritual gift for Christ's sake, to grow his kingdom, to make disciples of others. All of us have a gift. None is greater than another. They're all equal. They are all part of God's essential, eternal plan. There are no superstars in God's work. We are all together in this. We help each other out. We share in each other's joys and concerns. We share each other's lives with one another. We fellowship together. Something happens to one of us, the rest of us before long know about it and are taking care of the person that had something happen to them. That's the way it works. We are one body, one family. We are the church. And we should be the church to the community. That is our role in God's kingdom. Amen.